This meeting is now being recorded.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 2 Legal Regulatory Issues call held on the 10th of August, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for the recording and keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Michael Fleming. Please begin.
Thank you, Julie, and good morning, everyone, from the east or west side of the world, depending on where you are. Thank you very much for joining us this lovely evening at 21 UTC. I'd like to ask anyone with their speakers on to please go ahead and mute their microphones. Thank you very much. Very quickly before the call, I think staff is just going to add the questions that we're going to be reviewing today in the agenda. We're just going to wait very briefly for that to get done. In the meantime, I'll just go through and ask if anyone has any SOI updates, any state updates to their statement of interest. If you do, please go ahead and speak now. Hearing none, then I will make a quick announcement before we get started. I just wanted to let everyone know that starting from September, we're going to be shifting this Working Track 2 call to a weekly meeting. This is because we have a lot of material that we need to get through, and it has been the view of leaders and staff that we are unable to complete all of that in our current schedule, so we will be shifting, at least for the time being, to a weekly meeting schedule in order to cover all the relative material. I know, Paul, I'm sorry. All right, thank you, Steve. The questions are getting uploaded now. Since they are getting uploaded, I'm just going to go ahead and shift to the second question. I think last week we went over the first question. Let me back up a little bit. This week we are covering the CC2 comments for reserved names. Last week we started doing this, and we were able to get through some of the comments. However, we're taking this week to hopefully end that discussion. Last week we did go over 2.2.1, and I think we began 2.2.2. But our homework that we were asked to look at the logic or the rationale behind some of the reserved names, such as ICANN and IANA, was something that we were tasked with. So I think we're just going to go ahead and start from the top there. And this week we're going to be using the matrices that we shared with everyone in order to look at the relative comments. I think the second question deals only with the top level. Yes, that's correct. So can we get the top level name matrix uploaded, please? The second question is, do you believe any changes are needed to the list of reserved names at the top level as defined in section 2.2.1.2.1 of the applicant guidebook? Yes. This document is rather big. Another possibility would be if Emily would be as kind to share the link with everyone so they can access directly. And I will just speak where we're at so that it is easier for everyone to see. All right. Just bear with me as I do my own Zoom. So this matrix has been changed a little bit. This matrix was the original one that we used to talk about reserve names. We broke down each reserve name category and then wrote the relative 2009 policy recommendation as well as the 2012 Republican guidebook. Staff has gone through and changed this up a little bit for the CC2 comments in the far right column. If it's on the left, if it's in blue, you can tell that it's that they're relative CC2 comments. And on the far right is the CC2 input, as well as the question that shows what we're dealing with. So then, in regards to question C2.2.3, I'm going to go ahead and look at that first and foremost. This is in regards to ICANN and IANA names, and talks about the 2009 policy recommendation was to reserve the Unicode versions of example. And in the applicant guidebook, we got the strings example, invalid, local, localhost, test, and TLD. Part of our notes had us at our discussion notes. Asked if we should add the IETF RFC 6761 names, and at this point we would only be adding .onion, but potentially could add .homenet and possibly .alt, .alt. So our CC2 comments, we received quite a bit of CC2 comments in regards to this. Just to read off a few, this is from Nominate. That seems like a good idea. Otherwise, it is not clear to prospective applicants which strings are blocked for technical policy reasons, local tests, etc. From the BRG, yes, for the purpose of predictability, these strings should be added to the guidebook. However, the IETF should rarely assign special use domain names. And when it does, avoids assigning SUDNs, which I believe is second.
No, special use domains.
Yes, special use domains. That's correct. Thank you, Paul. Cool. That also correspond to brands. In the RYSG, we have yes. If ICANN knows a label won't be delegated, it should not be possible to apply for that label. And from ALEC, we have yes. This is to prevent applicants from applying for reserve names. So everyone seems to be in favor that we should make a rule that these are especially reserved from use, application. But at the same time, though, part of the BRG is that recommendations that those should be rarely assigned. And if they are, then they should be ones that are not, that do not correspond to brands. Does anyone have anything they would like to add on this discussion, on this category? There are other comments in regards to this question that we'll cover below, but I'd just like to stop at each category and ask for everyone's feedback. None? So I think that we can say that special use domains should be reserved. So let's move on then. Our next comment that deals with the question 2.2.3 is just two. I am just going down. I was pretty sure we had a second question, but it looks not. Okay, so I guess that these are all the relative input that we had for question 2.2.3. All right, then let's move on towards our next question. I'm sorry, I jumped at, I asked, I think I jumped here. I started at question 2.2.2, but I went to 2.2.3. My apologies, let me go back to question 2.2.2, which is, do you believe any changes are needed to the list of reserved names at the top level as defined in section 2.2.2.3? 2.1 of the applicant deck. Like, I'm sorry, I even read that last time. I don't know why I jumped to question 2.2.3. I'm sorry, it must be the early morning hours here. Let me go back over the comments for 2.2.2, and then I'll read again the question for 2.2.3, but just say that we actually looked at the comments and asked if anyone would like to speak again. So in response to question 2.2.2, we received a number of comments in regards to the ICANN IANA names at the very top of this document, and the 2009 policy recommendation was maintain existing reservations of ICANN names, ASO, GNSO, ICANN, InterNIC, and CCNSO, as well as IANA names such as AFRINIC, APNIC, and others. The 2012 applicant guidebook fully adopted ICANN names ALAC, ASO, CCNSO, GAC, GNSO, ICANN, InterNIC, NRO, RSSAC, and SSAC. And then the IANA names AFRINIC, APNIC, ARIN, GTLD servers, IAV, IANA, IANA servers, IESG, IETF, IRTF, ISTF, LACNIC, RFC editor, RIPE, and root servers. Then the CC2 input. Our first input was from NORID, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and this was a comment that we did receive last time, we did cover last time, and we were asked like logic for, was that regional organizations such as Center should be protected at the same level as GNSO and CCNSO, otherwise the list is fine. And that brought us to a question of why are we even reserving these names in the first place. Staff did look at a bit of a logic for us, but the result was that more or less there's not a lot of rationale or logic that is imposed into the 2009 policy recommendations, but at the same time, we believe that the rationale itself has something to do with the point that basically if these names weren't reserved for reservation, then these organizations could face extreme litigation or abusive use by cyber slutters. Something to that point, I believe. It's not exactly something that means that they must absolutely be reserved because it's a technical reason, but more so of so that third parties won't apply for them directly. Now, I think the question of whether or not we add other names to this, such as Center, is one that we'll need to have more discussion on. But let me go ahead and read the other comments in regards to this, and I'll ask for everyone's feedback. So, BRG said, yes, the reserved names list should be reviewed. Names should only be reserved where stability or security risks exist. The RYSG said, yes, the list should be reviewed. Labels should be reserved only where there are stability or security risks. Several of those reserved labels could be delegated and put to productive use. For example, .ICANN could be put to use by ICANN, thereby raising the visibility of the new GTLD program. ICANN should make technical linguistic check of all reserved name lists. Current list of reserved names contains at least 4 errors known to ICANN related to local Red Cross bodies. One is cross script and is a technical error. And another 3 related to the incorrectly inserted line break as a result of this. Cyrillic equivalent for society is reserved in a situation where Red Cross has no rights for it. So I believe that things are down the line, but as far as this category and these names, I think Red Cross particularly applies to this one. But does anyone have any input in regards to reserving such names as Center or adding other name, or perhaps, for example, even releasing these names from reservation. Steve, go ahead.
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve from staff. And I just wanted to highlight the comment I made in the AC room chat. In a brief bit of research that we did on why the ICANN and IANA names were reserved, one of the things that we saw for rationale why these are reserved is that it puts ICANN and some of the related organizations in the possibly odd position of utilizing the challenge mechanisms that it itself is designing. So I think that was one of the rationales. In other places, it seemed that it was just sort of accepted as logical that these names would be reserved. But other than that, we did not come across much other rationale other than those two reasons. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add on this? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and move on. Cheryl is on. Cheryl, I think Cheryl is on keeping the reservation list. What about adding names to the reservation list, which is center? I'll just case by case. All right. That is still up for discussion, but I am just going to go ahead and move on then. I'm just scrolling down the page to see if there are any more input to 2.2.2. Okay, so this is geographic names. Okay, so we did receive more answers to 2.2.2, but that's in the registered geographic names, and we're deferring all of that to work track 5. So in the category string requirements on the third page, I believe, yes, the third page, almost all the way at the bottom, we received a comment from Aphilius that says Aphilius supports the recommendation of SAC090 as SAC advisory on the stability of the domain namespace. And this is in response to the string requirements where ICANN established in the applicant guidebook that strings must have no more than 63 characters, upper and lowercase characters treated as identical. So unless anyone has anything to add on string requirements and that specific detail there, I'm just going to go ahead and move on to the next question. None? All right, then. So I did say I would read out the question 2.2.3 on the special use domains. So, special use domains, context, Internet Engineering Task Force, IETF RFC 6761, was issued after publication of the applicant guidebook. The RFC describes what it means to say that a domain name is reserved for special use by the IETF. When reserving names, such a name is appropriate and the procedure for doing so. It establishes an IANA registry for such domains and seeds it with entries for some of the already established special domain names. As a result of the RFC, ICANN must not assign special use domain names to any third-party registry. For example, the IETF recently approved .onion as a special use domain name, and IANA added .onion to use special use domain name registry, thereby ensuring that ICANN could not delegate .onion as a gTLD in the future. Do you think special use domain names should be added to the applicant guidebook section on reserved names at the top level to prevent applicants applying for such labels? So our responses that I read out earlier, by mistake, basically hinted on the fact that, yes, these should be reserved. And it was only added from the BRG that ICANN should prevent, INS should prevent having special reserve, special use domain names, should prevent reserving special use domain names that coincide with brands. And Phil, I know you had a question in regards to this earlier. Could we have any examples? A good example actually, but it would be .onion itself. The Onion is a very well-known and I believe for some very educational tabloid in the U.S. That some believe is, well, that is a brand itself, I believe, but just an example, it's possible that other names in the future could happen to coincide with brands and that it may or may not pose a problem, but it seems to be a very, very rare occasion that these names are reserved. But it seems that most people here would like to keep the special username reservations. Taking off my co-chair hat, I say I am the same. Steve, you make a comment that the PTI names could also be included. Yeah, I do believe that's what we discussed last time. So we probably that was for the ICANN IANA names reservation, or yes, that would be for the ICANN IANA names reservation. So let's put that in there as well. Put that in the notes. Think about it. Oh, Paul McGrady, you have a question? Please go ahead.
Thanks. Paul McGrady for the record. For those of us that are not super familiar with the Internet Engineering Task Force, how did RFC 6761 come into being? Is that something that the IETF can just do? Was it something they suggested to the ICANN board and the ICANN board did it? Was it out for comment before it happened? Any background that anyone has they could share? Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. And as a good chair, I wish I would know a bit more about the RETF. I'm sorry, the R. That request for comment. But unfortunately, I don't have that background information. My understanding would be that it was approved by the CF. Not necessarily in relation with ICANN. Does anyone have any comments or have any specific knowledge in regards to that specific RCF? RFC? If not, we can take that back and we'll provide feedback in our next call. So yeah, we'll make that an action item. Sorry, Paul, I'm better informed. Cheryl, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Michael. Cheryl for the record, and I am definitely no expert on the wonderful workings of AETF, but from what I have had over the experience as a director of an Internet Society chapter and, of course, its relationship to AETF, the bottom-up consensus building process, which is intrinsic to the request for quotation process, is extremely robust and certainly one that doesn't get rushed through. So I think, yes, we should take an AI, as Michael suggested, to look at the specifics of this particular one. But just from my perspective, for the IETF process of request for comment is one that is well understood and well supported within the technical community for very good reasons, but it's certainly not something that's rushed. One does have the opportunity from time to time to go back and look at an RFC, but it's a very transparent, very distributed, very bottom-up system. Whether or not ICANN did public comment is probably not as important as ICANN respecting that IETF recommended special use names had come to you from a very strong basis. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. And my brief understanding of the IETF as well is not as well as it should be, but I believe that anyone can submit a request for comment, and that goes to a board or select set of individuals that take that and either approve it to be posted for comment or allow it to be posted to the board for requests for comments. And then it goes through a process of receiving those and can be finalized after that. Audrey, you have your hand up. Perhaps I'm completely wrong. Go ahead. Fair of you, yes.
Hi, this is Audrey speaking. Yep, the process, first of all, the process for all of that in terms of those IETF special use names is going to be going under review at the moment. But there's basically two ways that things go through, either through the working groups, or yes, people can submit something from outside, and if they do, if it's judged not to be an end run against IETF processes, it then goes through a by the IETF community, a last call, they call it, as an internet draft before ever getting to the point of being able to become an. And part of what's being talked about now is ways to do better coordination so that ICANN and will know when one of these processes are starting. Also, one of the questions that exists that's being discussed is why do people need top-level domain names for their special use names, and so they're looking at second level, so that, for example, an assignment of .home that was done is being replaced by a home.arpa because there was no reason for it to be a top level domain. So it's quite a lengthy process. There are places where people in ICANN can know. In fact, we were even notified of .onion when it was going through, but people didn't really care back then and just sort of let it go, saying, I don't see a problem with it. But I think as it goes on for any of these special uses, there will be far more connection between IETF and ICANN. Thanks.
Geoffrey, at the same time, I mean, I think that's very, very educational, and at the same time, we will we'll look into a bit more of the specific processes for the RFC, and if we do have any more official information in regards to this directly, then we'll provide that at our next working group call, or sorry, working chat call. I'm just going to go ahead and move on here. Our next question, and our next and last question is 2.2.4, and I believe this one is in specifically in regards to the second level reserve names. So if we could get that matrix up, that would be great. Thank you. So the question is, specification 5 of the registry agreement allows registry operator to reserve and use up to 100 names at the second level for the operation and or promotion of the TLD. In addition, the registry operator is permitted to reserve an unlimited amount of other domain names, which may only be released through an ICANN-accredited registrar for registration by third parties. Do you believe that any changes are needed to a registry operator's right to reserve names, to reserve domain names? If yes, what changes are needed and why? If not, why not? So then, our comments in regards to this start on the second page. I'm just going to scroll in here. Ooh, I scrolled too far. Alright, so our first comment in regards to this deals with geographic and political. One second, I just can't get the exact right zoom here. There we go, 300% is perfect, but you have to type it in. So this is regards to the geographic and political reserve name on second level. It's in regards to second and third level ASCII ID. And the 2009 policy was that was the consensus view of the working group is given the lack of any established international law on the subject, conflicting legal opinions and conflicting recommendations emerging from various governmental fora. The current geographical reservation provision contained in the SGLD contracts during the 2004 round should be removed and harmonized with the more recently executed .com, .net, .org, .biz, and .info registry contracts. The only exception to this consensus or recommendation is those registries incorporated organized under countries that require additional protection for geographical identifiers for geographical identifiers. In this instance, the registry would have to incorporate appropriate mechanisms to comply with their national local laws. Were those registries incorporated, organized under the laws of those countries that have expressly supported the guidelines of the WIPO, Standing Committee, or the Law of Trademarks, and the industrial designs and geographical indications as adopted by the WIPO General Assembly, it is strongly recommended but not mandated that these registries take appropriate action to promptly implement protections that are in line with these WIPO guidelines and are in accordance with relevant national laws of the applicable member state. And then the adopted portions of this in regards to geographical name reservations is the applicant guidebook card. The country and territory names, including their ID and variants, where applicable, contained in the following internationally recognized list shall be withheld from registration or allocated to registry operator at all levels. The short form, that's contained in the ISO 31661 list. I'm just going to skip to the next section, which is 4.2, United Nations Group of Experts on Geographic Names. Technical Reference Manual for the Standardization of Geographic Names are three names of the countries of the world and the list of United Nations member states in six official United Nations languages prepared by the Working Group on Country Names of the United Nations Conference on the Standardization of Geographic Names. And they may be, these names may be released to the extent that registry operator reaches agreement with the applicable government. The registry operator must not activate such names in the DNS, provided that registry operator may propose the release of these reservations subject to review by ICANN's Governmental Advisory Committee and approval by ICANN. Upon conclusion of registry operator's designation as operator of the registry for the TLD, all such names that remain withheld from registration or allocated to registry operator shall be transferred and as specified by ICANN. Registry operator may self-allocate and renew such names without the use of an ICANN-accredited registrar, which will not be considered transactions for purposes of section agreement. And our notes on this was discussed that there has been a process established that allows for the release of certain country names that the GAC GAC members have approved of. I believe there's about 11 or 12 of those countries that allow for the use of the short form on the second level. Now, the registry stakeholder group commented on this with this, for most applicants, the 100 names allocated the period to work effectively in allowing registries to establish initial operations and marketing. Issues appeared to be primarily confined to geographic TLDs, many of which were required to or chose to reserve allocate large numbers of registrations to the associated government. The working group may choose to consider the specific experience of geographical TLDs and how it interacts with the 100-name limit as well as other provisions of the qualified launch policy. Does anyone have any experiences in regards to operating a geographic TLD and how those reservations are necessary for the 100 names or the allocation of certain names to local government? The associated government, sorry. None. My takeaway from this is that the comment specifically isn't actually referencing the same reservation of geographical and geopolitical, noting that the specific reservations talks about country and territory names, whereas the 100 reserve names or the names that had to be allocated to the associated government may or may not be a country or territory name. It's possible that it's more relatively a city name, which would not be, in this case, reserved in this specific category. So, taking that back, this comment merely deals with the reservation of the 100 names allocated to the registry, but at the same time within that, certain names that were large quantities allocated to the associated government. If anyone has any experience of running a geographic TLD and input in regards to this, that would be really appreciated. If not, I'm just going to go ahead and move on down the list here. All right. No one's spoken up at this time, so I'm just going to go ahead and go to the bottom of the page that we're currently on, where it's the voluntary reservations of 100 names. And this is for the second and third level ASCII and IDNs, and this was not addressed in the 2009 policy. Within the registry agreement, specification 5, section 3.2 states, registry operator may activate in the DNS at all levels up to 100 names as to IDN variants where applicable, necessary for the operation of or the promotion of the TLD. Registry operator must act as the registered name holder of such names as that term is defined in the current ICANN Registrar Accreditation Agreement. The rest of this is transactional specifics of the allocated. So I'm not going to touch on those specifically unless the comments need to be. In our notes, from our discussion, we talked about these names should be subject to TNCH requirements and potentially qualified launch policy addendums if they're released to third parties. In our comments in regards to this in the CC2, we received quite a bit of comments, actually. Our first comment was from John Poole. Registry operators have abused these provisions. No reservations should be allowed except 100 names. The registry stakeholder group has said, for most applicants, the 100 names allocated appeared to work effectively in allowing registries to establish initial operations and marketing. Issues appear to be primarily confined to geographic TLDs, many of which were required to or this is the previous comment, but many of which were required to be associated to the associated government. Working group may choose to consider the specific experience of geographic TLDs and how it interacts with the 100-name limit as well as other provisions of the qualified launch policy. Nominee we have for open TLDs, it seems reasonable that to allow the registry operator to reserve up to 100 games at the second level. But that limit seems artificial and meaningless in the context of a closed .brand new gTLD. We would agree that registry operators should be able to reserve domain names without limit depending on the nature and the use of the new gTLD. Very briefly, I'm just going to check the next page to make sure that this is not a different category. Okay, this is category, so I'm just going to leave that now. So does anyone have any comments in regards to CC2 comments that have been raised here? So from the CC2 comments, I think we could have some takeaways that we need to look at the experience of geographic TLDs and how the interactions of the 100 names work with them. And also from Nominet, we have the mention of the closed.brandnewgTLD, where 100 names seems to be artificial, and that they should be able to reserve the names without limit depending on the nature and the use of the gTLD, which would, in this case, reference to the dot brand. Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next category in regards to this question. We have one more category. That's on the next page. And this deals with additional reserve names. So this wasn't addressed in the 2009 policy recommendation. And the specification 5, section 3.3 of the registry agreement states that registry operator may withhold from registration or allocate to registry operator names, including their ID and variants, applicable at all levels in accordance with Section 2.6 of the agreement. Such names may not be activated in the DNS, but may be released for registration to another person or entity at registry operator's discretion. Upon conclusion of registry operator's designation as operator, that's a bit more transactional detail, so I'm just going to go ahead and skip to our next section in here. Our next cell, which was, from our discussion, these names, when released, should be subject to TMCH requirements.
Yes.
So the CC2 input that we received was, our first comment was from Janik Skell. 100 domains for promotional needs are sufficient. There should be a cap of 5,000 domains, including IDNs for reserved names. To avoid that registry operators de facto can decide who gets each domain name at what price by operating an unlimited reserve premium name list. Our next comment from Inta was that, as drafted, the RPM's provision is provide that if reserve names are released while the sunrise is going, they will be subject to the sunrise. Whereas if reserve names are released after the sunrise has finished, the names will be subject to a period of trademark claims, but not to a sunrise. It is possible, therefore, for the reservation of unlimited net numbers of domain names to be used as a means of circumventing the sunrise, without such a registry being considered to have acted in breach of their RPM obligations. INTA considers that all names should be subject to sunrise, and where names are released after the end of the initial sunrise period, there should be a means to give brand owners with matching marks recorded in the TMCH an opportunity to register the name first by means of a second sunrise or other comparable process, such as a right of first refusal. Our next comment from John Poole was that registry operators have abused these provisions. No reservations should be allowed except in names. And our last comment in regards to this from Dal Valadeus was, we would welcome consideration by the working group of how old holders of TMCH recorded marks might be given first refusal where the name is released from reservation. All of the issues have a scope for overlap with the work of the RPM's, RPM's PDP, and thus communication and liaison with, between the two PDPs is required. So I think our biggest takeaway here is that perhaps there should be a cap and other aspects when these names are released from reservation by the registry, they should be subject to Sunrise or, sorry, when they're released after the end of the initial Sunrise, there should be a means to give brand owners with the matching marks priority to either register the name or the right of first refusal. Paul McGrady, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks. This is Paul McGrady. Yes, I think that's a takeaway, but I also think there's an important thing that Valadeus said in his comment, which is the interplay between this section and the RPM's working group. Obviously, some believe that the reserve names list has been used to thwart the RPMs, and to the extent that the RPM working group thinks that that's the case, then it would seem to me that we would want to coordinate with them. And so I think that one of the things we need to send back up on this one is that there should be affirmative outreach to the RPM's PDP on this particular topic. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. I think that whatever we would decide would need to match what they have, of course, and that is a big thumbs up from Cheryl as well. I'm going to take that back to the leadership team, and we'll and just figure out the details for how we need to move forward and directly. Unless you have a specific party, I believe that the RPM working group broke out into specific subgroups in regards to the Sunrise and the claims, different services and regards to this, and if you have a specific individual that we should contact, or if we should perhaps reach out to the co-chairs and the overall co-chairs, then that be how we move forward. So let me just take that back to leadership, and if you do have a recommendation for who we should contact, then I'd appreciate it. Other than that, does anyone else have anything they would like to mention in regards to reserve names? The last section in the additional reserve names that registries can reserve. Hearing none, that concludes our topic of reserve names, and I'm glad we were able to get through that. Our next meeting will be held at with me on the 24th, 21 UTC. And following that, we'll be meeting the 7th of September, and then every week after that, with actually a good rotation between 15 UTC and 21 UTC. All right, then. Thank you very much, everyone. I'm going to give you back 9 minutes of your life, and have a wonderful weekend. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for joining. Have a good rest of the day.